This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens up the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency may be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have David Blankenhorn, who is a chief cloud technologist at DLT Solutions. Good morning, David.
Good morning, John. Great to be back.
Before we ask you about your interesting title, the first chief cloud technologist, sounds like someone from the weather station or something. But before we talk about cloud technology, give us a little about your background and how you wound up working for DLT Solutions.
Certainly. I spent over 20 years in the IT industry, primarily professional services. A lot of work in the reseller and SI world, and spent about 11 years at Sun Microsystems before the acquisition by Oracle. I must admit, I was actually a big iron hugger for many years. So it came a point, though, when I kind of saw the writing on the wall and this whole cloud thing started to really emerge, and I jumped into that with both feet. As a result, DLT wanted to stand up a knowledge practice around cloud and cloud applications, and pretty much jumped to the opportunity.
So you have a pretty wide background in the whole idea of managed services and cloud computing.
Absolutely.
Okay. I'm just kind of interested. I like to have fun with these titles. You know, if you read what's going on in technology, it looks like that in the commercial world, people are starting to loosen up and starting to hire people and maybe make more investments that they weren't doing 2 years ago. And so you have job titles like cloud service architect and cloud migration specialist and cloud security specialist. Can't major in those in college. And here you are. You got a fancy title too, chief cloud technologist. So what exactly does a chief cloud technologist do?
So I'm kind of like a specialized CTO, if you will, within DLT. We have our CTO, Van Risto, who's just phenomenal across the board. But they wanted someone to just completely focus on cloud technologies. So as a result of that, they wanted me just to, again, focus on the cloud technologies, figure out what to use it for, equally as important what not to use it for, and be able to articulate to our customers and help them down the path.
Kind of like having a tight end as well as a wide receiver.
Absolutely.
So same team, different skill sets, completely different skill sets. And if you'd like to read more about DLT, you can go to blogs.dlt.com, and you can read David's blog, you can read Van Ristow's blog, all kinds of blogs, everything in the cloud from security to performance and everything in between. So we've got a title here, Chief Cloud Technologist. Well, I would imagine that what your job would be to do would be take a client, let's say a federal agency, and they're scratching their head. They're having to make a move to the cloud, but they're kind of wary. They're worried about price, or worried about migration, security, and maybe someone from your perspective can say, well, look, I got a lot of books on the shelf here. I can pick any one of these books, but let's see what your requirements are, and we can come up with the right package that might serve your needs. Is that what you do?
Exactly. I run a knowledge practice there, the Cloud Advisory Group, and that's our whole point in existence. So at the end of the day, we actually like to sit down with the customers and say, what are you trying to accomplish? What's your mission? What's your goals? What are your requirements? And in some cases, we're going to quickly look at it and say, no, cloud is really not the right approach for this. You want to do it a different way. In others, we say, all right, here's how you do this. Kind of walk them through, break it down to brass tacks, break it down to reality. There's a lot of data out there about cloud, but really being able to apply that to your specific needs is the important part. Being able to do that.
Yeah. I don't think making a transition to the cloud is like buying a house or buying a car. It's almost like, buying a county. I mean, there's just so many different considerations to take. And I think we have listeners all through the federal government, 135 civilian agencies, all kind of military agencies listening there. And then what may work for the people at DOI, Department of Interior, it may be the right you know, combination of cloud services that may not work for the folks next door.
Yeah, and then you bring up a good point there, that there is really no one cloud. I mean, at the end of the day, you may actually have your own private cloud. You may be using multiple public clouds. They're just different platforms to do your business on. And then at the end of the day, you're not going to put them all in one. So you're going to want to mix it up. You want to find the best fit and not try to just put all your eggs in one basket, so to speak.
We all know a popular name, Vivek Kundra, from last year. He's up in the banks of Charles River, hanging out with intellectuals now. And his replacement was a guy named Steve Van Roekel, I think. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. And in December, you read the initiative. I read the initiative. And he said, well, Vivek may have gone to the cloud first, but he's thinking about words like shared first and future first. And this is a push that no one working for the federal government can maybe put their hands on their ears and close their eyes and just ignore, can they?
I think that Stephen Roekel's whole shared first is really a brilliant idea. It's a great vision. Too many times we see siloed IT that's buried within a specific program or sub-agency or some little department. They're doing the exact same thing as a dozen other groups in the same agency. So I think the shared first is really a good idea of, let's take some of these commodity ITs. And by the way, this is built on one of the 25 points in the 25-point plan. How do we take this consumerized stuff, email, collaboration, portals, web content, all these sorts of things that's kind of commodity from an IT perspective? How do we just consolidate all that to a single platform? How do we get better efficiency? How do we get better scale? How do we stop basically reinventing it over and over and over again for every single program that pops up?
And the answer's got to vary. I mean, there are some agencies that deal in hundreds of gigabytes of information. There are agencies, maybe involved with the weather, that deal with hundreds of terabytes of information. You know, same description bytes, but complete different problems.
Absolutely. And that's the other thing, is that at the end of the day, you're going to get into specialized applications where you're maybe doing meteorological work or genomics or, you know, biological, and those are going to be very specialized systems. But just the day-to-day tools that we use to share information and collaborate, like email and portals and documents, there's no reason why that can't be consolidated and shared intra-agency as a starting point. And that's really key, is that Stephen Roekel basically said, let's focus on intra-agency sharing first. Let's figure that out. Well, the ultimate end goal is do inter-agency. And that's going to be the real challenge, because you start getting the policy issues there, and how do you transfer money back and forth, and that can get a little thorny. But for the short term, let's just focus on stop replicating the same basic systems over and over again.
So let's say I'm a federal IT professional working over at Commerce, and my boss is twisting my arm saying, you know, this Steve wants us to have two systems going on in the cloud sometime this year, or we're going to get in big trouble. And so I call you up, and I go, hey, Big Dave, help us out here. Toss me a bone. And so what you can do is you can look at the different offerings that DLT has. Now, coincidentally, DLT has a wide range of offerings that
absolutely
that can probably fit everyone from a size 6 to a size, I just bought shoes for my son, size double wide.
Nice.
And my wife takes narrow, so there's a lot of different shoes in the shelf. I think the two products you resell a lot of is Oracle and Red Hat. What other products are you famous for reselling in the area here?
So Oracle, Red Hat, Symantec, Quest, Autodesk are really kind of the anchor, if you will. At the same time, we actually have been a very have a great portfolio. So we have a number of cloud services as well that are pure public cloud sorts of things. For example, Google Apps for Government, for email and collaboration. We have Informatica's cloud. We have a number of vendors that have tools that are specifically designed to help you build and manage private clouds or manage public clouds. So we have a very robust portfolio, and we're constantly building it out. I think that we can expect some exciting announcements here real soon about some new partnerships we're developing as well with some major public cloud providers. So this is constantly evolving. DLT is evolving with the technology as well. But we're seeing a lot of our traditional vendors really sorting through their portfolio and figuring out, okay, what can we cloudify, if you will? What is actually the right mix? How do we actually modernize some of these things for these new platforms that are coming out that are cloud-based?
And I think what DLT might be able to provide is maybe a perspective where, if the solution always was Oracle, well, maybe you have to look at, maybe the solution is Oracle, but is that the least expensive solution? Then you go, well, We got these things to discuss. You want the cheapest? You want the most secure? You want the fastest or the most flexible? You want the cheapest to migrate and then long-term cost? So the matrix in deciding these things is not just a piece of paper like Ben Franklin and two columns. It's like 40 columns.
The columns are definitely expanding. There's a lot of different variables there. I mean, it used to be there was a pretty simple equation. You could have price, performance, or reliability pick two. There's definitely more columns in the equation these days.
When we get back, we'll talk more about what kind of criteria to use to make these decisions. And there's a popular acronym among engineers called MCDA, Multi-Criteria Decision Analysis. Maybe you can describe that and help our listeners when they're trying to put together a spreadsheet or some kind of a way to make a decision on high technology or moving their technology to the cloud. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have David Blankenhorn, Chief Cloud Technologist at DLT Solutions.
Join host Michael Keegan for a special edition of the Business of Government Hour. Leaders Speak, a conversation on leadership and public service. What makes an effective leader? Why pursue a career in public service? Over a dozen past and current government executives shared their extended reflection on the next Business of Government Hour.
There are those who dedicate themselves to a sense of honor, to a life of courage, and a commitment to something greater than themselves. They have always defended this nation. And each other. They still do. The few. The proud. The Marines.
Hi, this is Byron Kerr. I know it's great to listen to me tell you all about the shaking and baking and thunder jams of Colonials men's basketball on Federal News Radio, but there's nothing like seeing it live at the Charles E. Smith Center. Come to Foggy Bottom with the whole family to raise high the buff and blue and enjoy great college hoops against some of the country's most exciting teams at a great price. I'll still be around for road games, so visit gwsports.com or call 202-994-7325 to raise high the buff and blue today.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy?
For freedom.
Freedom of religion.
What America stands for.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy? For honor.
Everybody. And watch out for everybody.
Freedom to vote.
Democracy.
Freedom to go outside and play with my kids.
I joined the Navy to serve my country.
Every freedom that we have.
The right to raise our kids in peace.
My little brother.
My wife. My kids.
Our children's children.
The United States Navy.
It's not for ourselves alone that we serve.
Things just don't happen. You need a plan. A federal career can last 30 years or more, and so can federal retirement. Tune in each Monday at 10 a.m. to get the information you need to plan your course for financial security, solid benefits, and optimum health care. 100% focused on the federal employee for your benefit, presented by NITP, has the answers to your mid-career and retirement planning questions. Listen to For Your Benefit, Mondays at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Federal News Radio for an hour that can change your future.
Since 1886, the Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Washington, D.C. has been helping children in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. Now they are visited by over 3,000 children every day. The club teaches character and leadership development and arts education. No child is turned away for being unable to pay the $25 fee, and the club needs your help to make this happen. Give a gift online at bgcgw.org. The life you lift up today will be the life that brings a better world tomorrow. This message is brought to you by GEICO and Federal News Radio.
Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, the only radio station dedicated to news for and about the federal government and government contractors. Find us at federalnewsradio.com.
It is one of our most sophisticated drones. And Iran claims that it was hijacked using a flaw in the GPS guidance system. They got the drone to think that it was in Afghanistan when it was actually still in Iran. And so the drone landed at its home base, thinking it was home base, right. But actually it was in Iran.
Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
As agencies await the release of the federal budget for fiscal year 13, they must learn to do more with less. To meet OMB's shared first model, agencies need to accurately measure the effectiveness of their IT portfolio beyond cloud and the FDCCI. Join FCA Bethesda on January 18th at the Bethesda North Marriott as agencies outline three key areas of governance: creating IT efficiencies and cost savings, policy and trends, and IT oversight. Register today at fciabethesda.org/JANBreakfast.
You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio we have David Blankenhorn, Chief Cloud Technologist at DLT Solutions. Before the break, David, we kind of spit out all kinds of variables and questions to ask when you're getting forced to make a move to the cloud. And I wish it was just the cheapest solution out there. Boy, you know, you go into the store and you buy chicken, and what's chicken on sale? Okay, that's a pretty easy solution. Well, moving to a cloud, there's so many variables. There's cost, there's security, there's availability, terms of service, there's supportability, long-term cost, short-term cost. I think there's this whole federal security layer that's on top of that. It gets difficult. And I think you wrote a whole blog posting on maybe some ideas on how to make these decisions.
Yeah, there's a fine line between basically doing your due diligence research and overanalyzing analysis paralysis. And one of the tools that I like to use when I'm just starting off at a high level is what's called a multi-criteria decision analysis. And this is just very simply a table by which you go to your stakeholders, the business owners, the actual users, and say, okay, what are your key requirements? Let's start to quantify what you think of as key variables that we need to take into account. So one of them is always going to be cost. And I'm always the first one to say that cloud does not always equal cost savings. It may equal greater agility. It may create better elasticity, scalability. Sometimes it'll be cost, but not always. But
it sure is implied, though.
It's certainly implied.
I think, if you go to the Shoppers Food Warehouse, you'll save.
Absolutely.
Well, you don't necessarily check. I mean, you know.
Yeah, there's other costs involved. Bandwidth is always a big one. When you get into, you know, cloud, is you need to take a close look at your network and bandwidth. So, you know, there may be, you may be saving money in one place only to spend it somewhere else.
I thought of the GSA. They made that transition in September to Gmail.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure they rigorously studied it and tried to figure out, okay, this is our requirement for security. This is our requirement for availability. It's got to be completely different for someone who is coming up with a public platform. I mean,
right.
Maybe within the GSA, they maybe have a public platform, complete different set of requirements for that cloud application.
Absolutely. So they're going to have different requirements for, you know, different services that they want to consume. So again, going back to the MCDA, you know, one of the things you do is you actually kind of define what your big illities are, if you will. So what's my availability going to be? What's my security going to be? You know, looking at a FISMA perspective, is my data going to be low, medium, or high? Looking at, you know, availability, is it nine? Do I need five nines? You know, 99.999% availability, or can I get away with just three nines? So looking at those sorts of things. And you can quickly kind of chart out what your application needs, what your service needs. Then what you can do is look at your different platforms, look at your classic IT infrastructure, look at the different cloud providers, look at a private cloud versus public cloud. And you can quickly kind of whittle out. So for example, you have an application that has a FISMA high, for example, a data set. Well, quite frankly, there are no public clouds out there that are going to be FISMA high capable.
Take that off the list.
That's immediately off the list, and you're down to basically the private cloud or just classic IT. So this can be just a quick tool to whittle down what your real options are. And then at that point, you know what to focus on from a, you know, deep dive analysis of these things. So that's kind of the approach I like to take, is, you know, kind of find out the big things. That's going to kind of filter out the things that you can and can't do right off the bat. And then you can kind of drill down into the specifics of those different platforms.
I just tossed out Gmail in regards to the GSA. But NOAA also just moved to thousands of different Google applications. Was your company involved in that? Or
no, we weren't. Though we've been watching it very closely as a Google partner. We're obviously watching what GSA and NOAA have been doing with Google Apps. Both of them, from all reports, have been quite successful. In fact, the migration times were pretty much on par with what we have seen. I think customer sat has been pretty high. They did the right things in terms of educating the user base early, you know, setting up kind of a pilot team to act as a train the trainer sort of thing, the mentor, the fellow users, bring a buddy sort of programs. You know, they really, really over-communicated, which is the key to any kind of new application, whether it's cloud or not, is really making sure that your users are aware and they're buying into this and they've got the right training available.
And I think it's kind of serendipitous. How's that for a fancy word?
Nice.
Now we see people using cloud applications, but what about these portable devices are in start and use? Well, as a coincidence, they kind of work hand in hand. It's not a bad symbiosis, I guess. Huh?
Exactly. And it was neat with the whole the Google Apps thing. Is, you know, really they were buying a mail platform. Was their primary business requirement they're trying to meet. But they kind of get this whole free collaboration, online doc sharing, and collaborative documentation creation, and chat, and archive, and all these other pieces are just kind of built into it. So, you know, there's more than just the Gmail piece that was built into the whole Google Apps infrastructure. And they're basically, GSA's approach was kind of, let's just turn it all on. Noah's taking a little more cautious approach, saying, okay, we're going to start with Gmail, and then maybe we'll turn on Google Docs, and then maybe we'll turn on Google Sites. The cool thing, though, is that some of the surveys they did with their users, a lot of their users were already using Gmail. So for them, it was the same thing they were using at home.
So transition wasn't difficult, yeah.
Grandma and the kids, it's the same thing that they're actually using at work now.
Interesting transition. There's a local blogger by the name of David Linthicum. and you know, David, he's real fun. He does all kinds of silly things. And he wrote something in December. It was three blunders to expect in the cloud in 2012. And he said, well, security, cost of migration, and performance.
Yep.
And are those three applicable for federal folks too?
Absolutely. The security thing is going to constantly evolve. You know, we got FedRAMP. We got the new control objectives that have come out. Obviously, these commercial cloud providers have got to kind of learn how to do business with the government. And so they'll be going through that with a fine-tooth comb and kind of learn through the school of hard knocks. You know, there's the migrations. Migrations are always going to be a pain, whether you're doing to another on-premise system or to a cloud. Migrations are something you just got to take very carefully, one bite at a time, move it forward in a very methodical manner. And the third one, what was the third one again?
Performance,
yes. Performance is going to be an interesting one because, again, you need to make sure that you understand the way your application performs, the way your workload actually works. When you move some stuff to the cloud, it may have some requirements for network backend that the cloud may not actually have. More importantly, going back to the network, one of the things that people are going to be very sensitive to is, you know, right now you may have a data center in the same building in which you actually work. You're going to be running on 100 megabit, gigabit Ethernet. You're going to have great speed, great throughput, low latency. And all of a sudden, we're going to move all those applications out over to my internet connection. The old T1, T3 ain't going to cut it anymore. So there may be some upgrades needed for that internet bandwidth to really keep those applications working and within the right parameters, if you will.
David Linthicum calls them screw-ups to expect in 2012. And I know a lot of federal IT professionals and very responsible, dedicated folks and lay abed at night, worry about things. And I think if I were in their position and I had to make this transition, I would say, well, you know, on the one hand, am I spending too much to make, or am I spending too little? It's like, well, you know, I want to have the razor's edge here. I want to be able to run in a multi-tenant environment, but is that sacrificing too much security? I mean, these are serious questions here for some organizations.
Absolutely, and kind of going through that whole thing. I mean, right now, we've been outsourcing our data centers for many years. We've been actually outsourcing a lot of the management of our IT infrastructure for many years. Cloud has just taken that one little bit step further. We're still outsourcing certain pieces. At the end of the day, it's all about, trust but verify. You've got to make sure your control objectives are clearly defined and really making sure that everybody knows what their position is. So who's going to cover which control objectives and how they're going to do it, have that documented and have that understood by all parties, is going to be critical moving forward from a security perspective.
Yeah, the objective to do more with less funding is a noble objective. It's just that there are capabilities built in there, like cloud bursting. That's a phrase that I hear a whole lot,
right,
too. Is it worth your agency to make provision for this rapid kind of burst information? I assume this is a cloud burst, isn't and is it? Maybe it isn't. I mean, I keep thinking of 9/11, the Washington Post, where everyone in the world went to WashingtonPost.com,
right,
and they went down because it's too much, and that was a burst of information. And how much is that worth? I mean, it's hard to measure in the federal world.
It really is. So going back to that whole equation of how do you actually balance it out?
MCDA,
exactly. Yeah. You know, you have to really start back to, again, what are the requirements we're trying to meet? Cloud bursting is can be tricky. First, there actually is a completely different software stack that needs to be installed to be able to orchestrate between your on-premise cloud, your private cloud, and some sort of public cloud or external private cloud. You've got to have that piece in play. And that's the net new piece.
We've been talking about cloud architecture with DLT Solutions. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we're speaking with David Blankenhorn, Chief Cloud Technologist at DLT Solutions.
Hey ladies, I'm Jill Sorensen, Caps beat reporter from Comcast Sportsnet. Want to see hockey from a woman's perspective? Then visit scarletcaps.com to sign up for Club Scarlet for free. Members receive an exclusive newsletter, a chance to win great prizes, and invitations to members-only events, including hockey and heels. Check out scarletcaps.com for the latest blogs and info. To join, log on to scarletcaps.com now.
Welcome to today's lottery drawing. And today's winning numbers are not yours, not yours, and another number that's not yours. And the final number is not yours.
When it comes to having money, don't rely on luck. Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Navy Rear Admiral retired Elizabeth A. Height, Vice President, U.S. Public Sector Cybersecurity Practice, HP Enterprise Services, on the Cybersecurity Combating Threats to Our Software Environment panel, sponsored by Hewlett-Packard.
There are some incredibly sophisticated capabilities that can be unleashed in this commons called cyberspace that you will not be able to anticipate and you won't see coming. So part of your plan is to defend, part of your plan is to mitigate, and part of your plan is to recover.
Could your IT security have made you less secure? Traditional IT security defenses, firewalls, encryption, and intrusion detection systems are extremely effective, and that's the problem. They're so good that the bad guys are now training their sights on a new target: exploitable vulnerabilities in software applications. HP can help governments secure mission-critical applications by designing security in from the beginning, finding the vulnerabilities inside existing software, and fixing them quickly and cost-effectively. To learn more, visit federalnewsradio.com/HP.
A new tool allows you to give opinions about video content, say a politician's debate performance, without doing survey forms. All you need to do is watch. Give permission and your computer's camera records your face as you watch the screen. New software called Afdex then instantly analyzes even the slightest changes in your facial expressions.
The software finds different points on your face that correspond to your eyebrows and your mouth and your cheeks and so forth, and tracks them as they move.
Rosalind Picard of MIT's Media Lab says when watching a video, those facial expressions
convey the experience of the person viewing it.
And she says it can be confidential.
We're not pulling out identity information. In many cases, all we're doing is we're counting smiles.
To find out more about this and other engineering innovation stories, please go to www.nae.edu/radio. That's www.nae.edu/radio. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Concerned about your health? Then be sure to catch the groundbreaking radio show Essentials of Healthy Living, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda. Join hosts Dana Lake and Kevin Passero as they bring you the latest news about traditional and alternative medicine, dietary supplements, nutrition, and healthy living. Tune in every Sunday at 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio. Visit MyVillageGreen.com, listen to past shows, and discover other healthy living resources. Essentials of Healthy Living is sponsored by Enzymatic Therapy and Nordic Naturals.
Here's your chance to get out for some fun. Marvin Bond is the editor of Recreation News.
Well, we're going to keep looking at these romantic getaways here over the next month, I guess. But you might want to look at the winter romance package at the Woods Resort in nearby West Virginia. You get one night in the Evergreen Lodge there, plus a 50-minute couples massage for $219. This is good for January and February, so you can go early if you want. Check it out on page 9 of the January issue of Recreation News or at recreationnews.com.
What other getaways do you have for us?
Well, of course, we love getaways, as you know, and the three Cove Haven resorts in the Poconos are celebrating Valentine's Day every day in February. There are all sorts of special activities, and these are actually all-inclusive resorts, so you don't have to worry about anything other than getting yourself there. Recreation News readers get exclusive discounts. But you do need a special code, so see page 27 of the January Recreation News and take off for Cove Haven in the Poconos.
Marvin Bond is the editor of Recreation News. I'm Ruben Gomez.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio is David Blankenhorn, Chief Cloud Technologist at a company called DLT Solutions. Earlier in the show, I mentioned the blogs I have there. If you go to DLT Solutions, I think it's DLT.com. Is that your?
That's correct.
DLT.com. And you can find their blogs. There's all kinds of blogs. There's maybe, I don't know, half dozen different types of blogs, everything from security to strategy, different specific problems. They handle a wide range of products. And a lot of your technology folks must contribute to that big blog you have, huh?
Actually, almost all of our engineers blog on their various areas of expertise.
Yeah.
So there's a wide range, as you said, everything from specific nuances of a given product to big picture architecture, business analysis. It's really a nice, interesting, diverse set of opinions.
I have a blog called Tech Tuesday Blog, and I blog about my radio guests. So if you want to hear more about David or about the DLT or the 20-year reunion I went to at DLT a few months back, you can go to my blog and learn about it there. And 20 years in business, that's the other thing, you know. And I was telling you before the show is that, you know, DLT didn't collapse in the bad times. DLT didn't get eaten up by a huge company in the good times. They're still there pounding away, aren't they?
We're there and we're going strong. I've only been there about 10 months now, but I can certainly see why it's going strong. It's just a great management team, great leadership team, just a bunch of hardworking folks that really love what they do, and they're doing the right things. It's really an exciting place to be.
Yeah, I mean, there's something to be said for longevity, and, you know, I just... There's got to be a reason, so maybe the listeners can go to DLT and read some blogs and find out. If you keep up with security trends, which I have to, you read everything from the Federal CAO Council releasing some new things, 150 security controls, 16 categories. They apply directly to services in the cloud. Is this something new? Is this just an expansion on a previous initiative? Or tell me about these cloud security standards.
This is a new approach. So a lot of the control objectives that were put out are based on pre-existing work done by NIST. So the 853 control objectives. So it's based strongly on that. And Richard Spires from DHS, who leads up the CIO Council, has really been shepherding this along with collaboration across DOD, across Fed, Civ, state, local. It's really been a great collaborative effort. The ultimate end goal of this is to actually shorten the time it takes and the money it takes to provide a service with authorization to operate, to actually allow it to run government services. So right now, the way it kind of works is whenever an agency wants to stand up a new service, they go through this whole ATO process, and they look at the control objectives and security and make sure that everything is just right, and then a CISO or CIO issues the ATO. The problem with that is it's kind of analogous to, let me take it one step further. If another agency wants to stand up the exact same service, they go through the exact same process all over again.
Yeah.
So the analogy I like to use is it's kind of like having a driver's license for every state you drive in.
Yeah, you go to Ohio, you got to take the test all over again.
You
got to
get exactly. So you're doing the same things, but you got to take the same test in the other state to get it. The whole point of FedRAMP is kind of give you that driver's license that actually spans the different agencies. So it may not meet all of the control objectives for a given agency. However, if it can meet the 80-90 percentile of all control objectives, you only have to actually go through the additional delta. If you'd accept that 90 percentile as, yes, these control objectives are met, you only have to worry about the ones that deviate from the ones that FedRAMP has put forth. So this can actually save a lot of time and money in the long term.
That's good. I want to switch from security to mobile devices and then go back to the cloud here. Amazon is selling 1 million tablet devices a week. I mean, last year, I think there were 55 million iPads sold. I mean, lots of new devices. And what many of my listeners are finding out is that they have to find out a way to control or organize all these mobile devices. I mean, this is the big breakthrough thing in 2012, 2013 is, okay, we've got these mobile devices. How do we manage them? What about security? And I think if you maybe reflect back on the cloud, okay, we're going to the cloud. Sure, you're forcing me into the cloud. Great. We have to, okay, I'm making a decision in the cloud. Here's where we're going to go. Well, then all of a sudden you have multiple clouds to worry about. And guess what? Now we have to worry about cloud management as well.
Right. So there's a whole... Yeah, exactly. It's kind of a snowball effect going on. So yeah, I've got this whole new platform that's called the cloud right now, and I've got to manage the nuances of that. You know, the end users want to bring their own devices. They want to bring their new Droid phones or iPhones or pads or whatever they're buying. And they want to be able to do stuff on their new personal device. How do you actually control the data? And that's really what it comes. It always comes back to the data, is what needs to be controlled, how it needs to be controlled. Where is that data allowed to live, and how is it protected? So right now, the big challenge and some of the interesting innovation going on there is the ability to actually run basically almost like a virtual machine on your phone or on your pad, where you open up this virtual machine and you do all your business stuff. You do all your government stuff. But when you shut it down, it basically encrypts all that data or basically deletes all that data until you need it next time, and then just pulls it down from, quote unquote, the cloud. So there's a lot of innovation. I think this year is going to be kind of a breakout year from a mobile management perspective of providing the tools, creating the tools that allows the IT professionals to actually manage all these, this diverse set of devices. So, I mean, ultimately, I think that the IT is going to have to open up a little bit, but at the end of the day, they're not going to be able to support everything that's out there on the market, every flavor of Android, every version of iPhone. It's just not going to be realistic. So they're going to have to pick and choose.
I never dreamt of iPhone's capacity 10, 15 years ago. And 10, 15, 20 years ago, you had computers in the office, and that's what you worried about. But now, increasingly, if you're moving to the cloud, you have to worry about connecting back and forth to the cloud, worrying about the pipes, and worrying about service-level agreements, SLAs. And this is really, I think, kind of a hidden topic that most people don't talk about was let's take a look at the service-level agreement and what kind of terms of service do you expect out of this specific type of a cloud application, which goes back to performance. Kind of a unheralded factor that's important, isn't it?
It is. When we look at service level agreements from traditionally the way we do IT right now, if you ever had the pleasure of reading one, it covers everything from availability to escalation procedures to uptime requirements to windows of maintenance and support procedures. All these sorts of things are embedded in the traditional IT SLA. When you go look at a cloud SLA, a lot of things are missing. All they have in there are availability and remediation. In other words, how many credits are going to give you if availability isn't met?
Yeah, that's uncomfortable.
So it's like, what happened to all the other things that you would want from a traditional IT perspective? Where's my support procedures? Where's my data controls? Where's my security? Where are all these pieces that used to be my old SLA? The cloud providers have kind of moved these into a separate document called the Terms of Service. And that's where really the meat of the old SLA stuff exists, with the exception of availability and credits. So Terms of Service is really the most important document. And in there, you'll see things around data ownership, data sovereignty, data location, security controls, all those sorts of things that are really critical, indemnification, liability, all that is in there. They almost took a page out of the telco or the software EULA space, end user license agreements. So it's not going to be like your old traditional IT. It's, you got to look at those two documents. And occasionally there's even a third. Occasionally there's actually a support document that actually details the support procedures and escalation procedures and response times and all that kind of stuff. So sometimes there's two, oftentimes there's three documents you've actually got to look at in concert.
We'll get back, talk more about cloud computing and the federal government. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have David Blankenhorn, Chief Cloud Technologist at DLT Solutions.
powered by the latest second-generation Intel Core processors, new HP ProLiant G7 servers are an ideal choice for reducing power costs and getting a jump on your cloud computing initiatives. GovConnection, a federal elite HP partner, can show you how the power of HP and Intel can achieve a return on investment in as little as 2 months. Talk to GovConnection and find out how together they can power your data center into the future. Call 800-800-0019 today.
In the beloved fairy tale Beauty and the Beast, Belle and the Beast learn that true beauty is found within and live happily ever after. Today, our happily ever afters are being threatened by the fact that nearly 1 in 3 children in America are overweight or obese. Now is the time to make good nutrition and physical activity part of your family's daily lifestyle. To learn more, visit letsmove.gov, brought to you by Let's Move, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and the Ad Council.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m. right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth, every Saturday at 10 a.m. here on Federal News Radio. This week, my special guest is Caroline Adams Miller, an amazing coach and a best-selling author of Creating Your Best Life, The Ultimate Life List Guide. Tune in to listen to Caroline. The show is brought to you by Odin Feldman & Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Vienna, Virginia. Visit us on the web at ofplaw.com.
Today, my journey to help save people money on car insurance brought me to our nation's capital. I was taking a stroll around the mall when I met a very nice gentleman from Ohio who asked me a question. What kind of word is GEICO anyway? An excellent question, I replied. I told him that GEICO isn't a word, it's an acronym, and it stands for Government Employees Insurance Company. I explained how GEICO actually got its start 75 years ago to help federal employees save money on car insurance. Interesting, the man replied. But today, GEICO saves lots of people money on car insurance, including me. Have you ever thought about changing the name? I said. It's a thought. But Gecko sounds like Geico. If we change the name, I might be out of a job. We strolled a bit more, stopped for some tea, and we both agreed. It's probably best to keep the name just like it is. Geico.
To get a free rate quote, go to geico.com, then buy online or over the phone. If you're a federal employee or belong to an association like Big, Few, Young Government Leaders, and others, you may qualify for a special discount. Contact Geico today to request your special federal savings.
I love my husband, but I didn't realize our difficulties had to do with his drinking. Our pastor suggested I go to Al-Anon Family Groups. I didn't think I would be comfortable, but I decided to try a meeting. The Al-Anon meeting really opened my eyes. Are you troubled by someone's drinking? You might be surprised at what you can learn in an Al-Anon family group meeting from people just like you. Call 1-888-4-Al-Anon.
Meeting mission goals through IT modernization, brought to you by General Dynamics IT.
Congress has added a roadblock to the Army's move to a government-operated cloud for enterprise email service. Language in this year's defense authorization bill requires the Army to put its move to the cloud on hold while it prepares various reports and business case analyses for the service operated by the Defense Information Systems Agency, and then reports back to lawmakers. The Army estimates it'll set back its transition to enterprise email by at least 45 days.
General Dynamics IT delivers the full strength of enterprise IT to drive innovation like infrastructure consolidation, consolidation and modernization, cross-domain information sharing, cloud computing, Web 2.0, and a constant flow of new applications and IT services. General Dynamics IT helps government, military, and commercial organizations achieve new levels of productivity and mission effectiveness. General Dynamics IT brings together the expertise, technology, and best practices to deliver secure enterprise IT solutions. Go to GDIT.com to learn more. That's GDIT.com.
As a manager, you need to know how you can make your organization more efficient. Listen for Management Friday on Federal News Radio. We bring you information on the keystone of success for any agency or business. Friday mornings at 10, listen for AFGE's perspective on inside government. Next at 11, Shaw, Bransford, and Roth talk about the legal implications of management decisions on Fed Talk. And at noon, listen for Fed Access with Derek T. Dort to hear what career options may be available. Management Friday, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have David Blankenhorn, Chief Cloud Technologist at DLT Solutions. My, wide-ranging discussion. Everything from cloud trends to Oracle to all kinds of different topics here. I think in the last block here, I'll touch on a topic that maybe people have heard. We'll talk about big data and what that means to the cloud. But before we do that, got to do my up-close and personal little survey here. I try to give all my guests my little nerd survey to find out if they're a card-carrying nerd or not. So I'm going to ask you 10 questions, and categorically, we'll know your level of nerdiness here, David. So
got it.
You're your first computer.
Let's see. That would have been 79.
Whoa. You broke through the 80 barrier. That's a big deal. Your first cell phone.
First cell phone would have been 80. That probably would have been 89.
That was kind of early.
It was a brick, yeah.
And do you have a Twitter feed?
I do.
Good. And do you have your own blog, just a company blog?
Just a company blog.
Still counts. Do you use any kind of online personal backup, like the different services that are out there?
I use Google Docs. I use Box. I use iCloud.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kind of smartphone you have?
iPhone.
Okay. Number of apps in your iPhone, do you know?
Probably over 100. You asked me this last time.
I threw out this bogus number of
27. I had to go count it afterwards and realize that there's about 20 that I use, and there was another 80 that I didn't even know I had.
You're moving up on the scale here, buddy.
Yeah, I know. I've been working hard since we spoke last.
And what kind of tablet device you have?
Again, last time you asked me, the answer was no.
But actually, you're trying to move up.
I've moved up. I have an iPad now.
You could very well be a card-carrying nerd.
Yeah.
And social networking sites you participate in?
LinkedIn and Google Plus.
Okay, no Facebook. Okay. And the last book you read, electronic or paper?
Yes.
Oh, it's both, huh?
Yeah, it's yes. And the last time you asked me if I read a book on an ebook or something, and the answer was no. And I'm now the proud owner of an Amazon Kindle as well. So
you are moving up in the nerd scale.
I've been working hard since the last time we spoke.
You were like a wannabe nerd the last time, I think. I'll have to totally zip on my big UNIVAC computer I have in my basement and come up with a specific number and talk about that. Interesting. My Twitter feed is called @RayGilray. And I follow all kinds of people. People follow me. I talk about my guests. I talk about all the many adventures I have here. I have more adventures than I can care to think about. One adventure I have is trying to understand big data and just trying to come to grips with it. And just, is cloud got anything to do with big data? Are these separate things? Can I run big data in an office? How would you even define this term, big data? I'm sure people have heard it.
So big data is in many ways kind of a perspective thing. I mean, if you think back to my first server, it only had a 20 megabyte hard drive.
Ooh, ST510?
Yeah, it was an old Seagate.
I remember.
My server only had a 300 megabyte hard drive. So, back then, whenever I got close to 200 some odd meg, I was dealing with big data. Today, that's completely shifted. So the issue we're dealing with today is kind of three-dimensional. I mean, Metagroup back in early 2000s defined it before Gardner bought them as really being three dimensions of big data. One was just the sheer volume of the data. One was the velocity, in other words, how fast that data was generated in and out of the systems. And the other was just the variety of data. I mean, it's not structured data like in a database or in a spreadsheet, but it can be more malleable, like audio or video or documents or presentations, those sorts of things. Now, just to give you an idea, last year alone in the world generated 1.8 zettabytes of data, which was kind of a nonsense number.
The fact that you know that word, you're getting nerd points. You know
yeah,
that,
the
you?
More nerd, I'm just cranking up the charts, aren't I? Now, to put that in kind of more human numbers, that's equivalent of 28 billion with a B, 64 gig iPads.
Ugh.
That's how much data was either created or replicated just last year alone. And if we were to look at the Library of Congress with all 147 million assets they have, and you were to digitize all of them, some people say that would be about 462 terabytes. So again, looking at that, we're talking about 3.8 million libraries of Congress created or replicated last year.
Wow.
3.8 million.
And that's just in the last couple of years, all this data has been flooding in.
That was just last year.
Wow.
I think we were talking earlier before the show about Basically, 90% of the world's data was generated in the last 2 years.
So let's maybe put this in a simple format. So let's say you're the state of Ohio, and you want to collect all the information on all the people who have driver's licenses. Mm-hmm. And so you have name, address, zip code, height, weight, bang. That's right. A pretty simple relational database. Everyone knows that.
Right.
Now, you go to YouTube, you got all these videos. Here's David Blankenhorn playing softball. Here's John Gilroy racing a car somewhere. Here's David jumping out of an airplane. Well, that's not easy classifiable information, is it? That's one distinguishing characteristic there.
Right. That's the unstructured data that's a real challenge for our traditional systems to deal with. It's pretty important in the surveillance communities or in the intelligence communities. They're constantly dealing with, how do I aggregate all this video feed, these audio feeds, social networking data? How do I actually make sense out of all of this? How do I actually get information out of all the data? And that's really the challenge of big data, and that's kind of the excitement of it. If you get into the medical space, this is even more exciting, because ultimately, if I can record every single interaction I have with my doctor, every sort of treatment that I was given, be able to capture all of that and be able to compare that to all the other patients in the world, imagine what that can do for personalized healthcare. Imagine what that can do in terms of refining how we actually treat people medically.
You know, years ago, my wife was considering, she went to Oklahoma and thought about studying meteorology. What a great place to study it there. And then she said, you know, the statistics, amount of information, really, I mean, and we all know in the last 20 years that meteorologists really carry this big burden. It's like a wheelbarrow full of statistics and all this information.
Right.
Well, guess what? Everyone's got that wheelbarrow now. It's the marketing people have those wheelbarrows. You know, the people in the federal government have those wheelbarrows. So it's like, hey, welcome to the party.
It really is. It's amazing. We are all, I had to do my own personal machine migration last weekend. I didn't realize I had 200 gig of this video and pictures.
Just sitting around.
And I went back and looked at them by year, and I go back to 99, and it was maybe only a couple hundred meg. You know, last year it was like 40 gig. And I expected to even get bigger this year. You know, new cameras and new video formats, it's just going to get bigger. My favorite story is at the TED conference, there was a gentleman that actually recorded 240,000 hours of video of his infant from the minute he came home from the hospital. What was cool about it was he took this and wrote algorithms. He could actually tell you how this child learned to speak, how this child learned to deal with the abstract world. What this is doing from a speech language analysis perspective, it really, for the first time, you can actually document out exactly how this child learned to speak.
And the military listeners have data sensors. All of a sudden, the proliferation of data sensors means you have a lot more data. All of a sudden, we're in a situation where you have to learn how to manage and control it. The cloud may or may not be the solution. Maybe a private cloud, a public cloud. In order to decide, we got to go back to your magic four letters, MCDA.
Yep. Again, what is the data? How sensitive is it? Where can I actually have it live?
So big data is not necessarily a numerical issue or, well, John, after 102, then it's big data. No, it's
there's no magic number.
There's some characteristics of this. It's the type of data and the size and what you want to do with that data. And look at the medical community. Look at all the data they get from a patient. They have to take and amass that. Mm-hmm. And like you said, maybe compare it to others in that same situation.
We spend tens of years downsampling all of our data. So we actually only keep the stuff that we think is going to be relevant. Moving forward with big data, the whole point is you keep it all. You don't know it's going to be relevant when you run some analysis on it. So you keep all your data.
But the statisticians will argue, well, geez, you're wasting time. There's the argument, you know. You want to do the right thing. You don't want to waste time.
You
want
to have your representative sample.
And a representative sample is better than having all that information.
Yep.
And I'm sure the mathematicians will come in here and just beat you over the head with those formulas. They've beaten me.
No doubt. But interesting enough, the mathematicians have a hard time arguing with the click-through data that, for example, Amazon or Google and the rest of them have actually used to monetize big data. And actually, all these, every time you go on to Amazon and actually say, I like this book, it tells you five others that people have bought just that like you're the kind of books that you buy. They're taking this that's big data, all that click-through data. They're actually analyzing that and actually, you know, they're updating. Netflix is updating preferences. You like this movie? Well, people like that movie also like these other movies as well. That's how this is actually becoming usable. You do that with a representative sample and you're going to end up with some strange movie that you've never even heard of that you're probably going to hate. You do that with real data, with real people are using, you're going to get some better results.
Real Data, Real People, DHS. They're just down the road. We should have them in and talk about it. They would never say a word about that, but I'm sure that's a big part of what they were in Big Data.
I'm sure.
We're going to have to end this interview right now, David.
Exactly.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guest, David Blankenhorn, Chief Cloud Technologist at DLT Solutions. Thanks, Dave.
Thanks, John.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.